Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter number 6. I touched a little bit in this chapter on Sunday and preaching a little bit about the presence of God. And I want to back up tonight. I don't even know if I got out of the whole day on Sunday before the Lord began to stir in my heart about this and meditating. And on my way to the church yesterday, or actually it was Monday evening, I came up and spent the night to work on yesterday. But on my way to the church, the Lord began to outline it in my heart. And it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's a very powerful passage of Scripture. And I want to ask you tonight, before I preach, give you what God's given me. If someone asked you, what is some of the evidence that you'll see when the Lord shows up, or from the presence of the Lord? What are some evidences? How many believes that there's some evidences? And Isaiah is really, I didn't even think until it was about 5 o'clock, I was reading in the commentary by J. Vernon McGee, and I didn't even think how well the message, Brother Steve, even fits with current events. In other words, in the year that King Uzziah died, it was a dark time in Isaiah's life. It was a dark time in the nation's life. Uzziah was a wonderful king. He reigned 52 years. He had the privilege of defeating the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, which not too many could say. It was a time of great national prosperity, both spiritually and materially. And Isaiah's at a low ebb. He's at a low point here. And I just want to read the text and then get into the message. I praise God for the Bible. The Bible will help us in every situation, in every generation. The Word of God is just so much alive. It'll meet us right where we are and help us. Amen. And I appreciate the Bible. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah 6, verse 1, I saw also the Lord. You know, all that some have seen in the last week or so is the mess. But I tell you what God's looking for, somebody that'll look for the Master in the midst of the mess. Amen. Amen. The Word of God said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's going to be hard for me to read all the way through this. I'm wanting to stop and start, if you know what I mean. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this looks like it's almost out of place, but it's not. It's commonplace. When somebody gets in the presence of God, I told you I'm trying to read, but I'm having a hard time. When somebody gets in the presence of God, they're no longer bragging on themselves. They're no longer even able to stand most of the time. Beloved, in the presence of God, Saul was knocked off his horse. In the presence of God on the Isle of Patmos, John fell at his feet like a dead man. These people that are going around saying, when I see the Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'll tell you what's the truth. Beloved, listen, we've forgotten how holy he is. We've forgotten how high he is. And I'll tell you something else we forgot. We've forgotten how low down we are. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm undone. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If you want another example of that, it'd be Job, Brother Steve. Job got along just fine defending himself with his so-called friends. But you get along down there to chapter number 42, and the Bible said he saw the Lord. He said, wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. There's another man going down in the presence of God. He said, there's nothing wrong with going down, because he said if we'd go down, he'd lift us up. He said, if we were exalt ourselves, we'll be amazed. But if we'd humble ourselves, he said, I'll exalt you. Amen. The Word of God is talking here. In verse number 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Well, I tell you, this is one of the greatest things a man or a woman will ever experience in their life. And the Word of God said, thine iniquity is taken away. Glory to God, I tell you, everybody that's ever been born again remembers when your iniquity was taken away. I'll tell you something else, beloved. Isaiah's not being born again right here. Isaiah knows the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's people need their iniquity taken away. Repentance is not just for sinners. It's for God's people. That's why the Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. I believe, beloved, listen, Paul said, judge yourself, lest you be judged, amen, that you're not condemned with the world. The Word of God said, he laid it upon my mouth and said, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Then he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, get you somebody else, Lord. That ain't what he said, is it? Then said I, oh Lord, there's a lot more people who do this better than I can. That ain't what he said, is it? Then said I, here am I. Up goes the white flag of surrender. Send me, Lord. Send me. The Bible said, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. I need you to pray for me. Would you do that? Pray with me. Pray for this service. Pray we won't just preach about his presence, but then we'll experience his presence. Pray the preacher won't just have God in him, but pray he'll have God on him. There's a difference. Say amen. If every child of God in America that had God in them, Brother Preston, had God on them, we'd be having a Holy Ghost revival in this country. We need God on us. We need God on our churches. We need God on our homes. We need God on our country. Amen. We need the Lord. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this blessed old book. Lord, thank you for the prophet Isaiah. Thank you for men of old, holy men of old. Lord, to give us the Word of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would move on this pastor tonight. I pray the Holy Ghost would move on this congregation tonight. I pray, God, you'd start a fire. Lord, that you'd rekindle the flames, our Lord. Set us ablaze once again. Lord, we've sat down on our knees. We forgot about sinners dying without God going to hell. We forgot, our Lord, about the touch of God, the need for the breath of God on our singing, on our preaching, on our teaching of the Word of God. Help us in these days, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Forgive us, oh God, for our complacency. Forgive us, our Lord, for not praying for our leaders and not praying for our country. Oh, God, forgive us, I pray. Lord, of our sin, our iniquity, our shortcomings, our Lord, our faults, our failures.
Forgive us, our God. Cleanse us afresh and anew. Light a fire our Father may it spread. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got three things tonight, simple things that the Lord pointed out to me in the text. I've told you this before. I almost feel guilty. I know some men bound to study for hour upon hour upon hour. But I'm going to tell you what it is. I know what it is for God just to give it to you. And I believe, listen, I didn't even have my Bible open. I was in a vehicle headed for the house of God. And God began to stir in my heart concerning this passage of Scripture. Evidence of the Lord's presence among His people. The first thing I want to give you tonight is the word worship. There'll be worship of the Savior. There'll be worship of the Savior. You say, preacher, what do you mean, worship of the Savior? Well, the Word of God said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. I believe when we worship God, beloved, listen, the first thing we're going to have to realize tonight is His highness. Listen to me closely, beloved, tonight. We're living in a generation that's trying to pull Him down to us. Listen, God's not interested in being pulled down to our level. He wants to pull us up to His level. The Word of God said Isaiah saw Him high, lifted up. You see where Isaiah went? Listen to me carefully. When his heart was down, when he was saddened, when he was broken, because King Uzziah died, you know where he went? He went to the temple. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if there was ever a generation that needs to head for the house of God, it's the generation that we live in. He's in the temple, and beloved, God is going to meet with him there and let him see some things and hear some things that he would not have otherwise. Let me give you a couple of things real quickly tonight. I want you to turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 73, for just a moment. Psalm chapter 73. This is one of Brother Brian's favorite passages of Scripture. And if you, 73 and 77 as well. And you know, if you've been through what he's been through, you might understand a little bit better why. It talks about, I was envious at the foolish. I saw the prosperity of their wicked in verse number 3. Their eyes stand out with fatness in verse number 7. In other words, beloved, it's a picture of the wicked out there getting along so good. The wicked's got everything, beloved. The cupboards are full, it seems like. And they got everything going for them. And yet there's a child of God with that sore in the night that can't even rest upon his bed. Are you listening to me? Watch what the Word of God said here. Verse number 13. Verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, beloved, listen. Old Slewfoot will come along and he'll say, what's the use, Brother Ike? What's the use to serve God? What's the use to take your family down to the house of God? And the Word of God said in verse number 14, it said here, for all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And the Word of God said, if I say I'll speak thus, behold, it should offend against the generation of thy children. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. First thing I want to do, beloved, is just get us into the sanctuary. Get us with Isaiah into the temple, Brother Steve. He didn't head down to the bar room to try to find some comfort. He didn't head down to the house of ill repute to try to find some comfort. He went down there to the temple. He went down there to that place where God had put his name on it. Amen. You say, preacher, the church, has God put his name on it? Oh, yes. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I tell you that we got too many people that are naming the name of Christ and they go to church when it's convenient. God said let's go to church and worship if we want to see his presence in this generation. Let's worship the King. The Word of God said till I went to the sanctuary. Look at verse 17. I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. You see, I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'd rather be a pauper. I said I'd rather be a pauper and have Jesus than to have all this world's got to offer and die without God. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, look at Psalm 77 for just a moment. I'll just read verse 13. The Bible said, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" I tell you, beloved, listen, Brother Coulter, I may read it after a while. I sent him a text just thanking him for his help. He spent most of his day yesterday down on his knees, but he wasn't praying. Amen. He is a digging. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. He's a great help, soaking wet, sweating, wasn't he, Brother Steve? But I appreciate the man of God. Amen. You know what he told me in that text? He said, God will bless a man in a pulpit, and God will bless a man in the flower bed. I said, hallelujah. The work needs to be done. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, the Word of God said, thy way is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? One thing he told me in the text, I'll read it after a while. He said, it was just good to be around the brethren. You tell me you're saved by the grace of God and you don't want to be around the brethren. There's something wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, when God saves us, he puts a love in our heart for him, for his people, and for sinners to be saved by the grace of God. That's what God does. There's evidence of the Lord's presence among his people. Worship of the Savior. We see his highness in this worship. Thank God, listen, Jesus didn't say, look down, for your redemption draweth nigh. He said, look up. Glory to God. Amen. You say, preacher, I wonder where Jesus is in all this. I'll tell you where he is, right where he was before it started, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, waiting on the signal, Brother Ralph, waiting on the Father to say, it's enough, son. Go get your youngins. Go get your bride. We're going home. Amen. The worship of the Savior. We see his highness. But here's something this generation's forgot about. We see his holiness. Watch me just a minute and listen to me. These angelic beings, these seraphims, with twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. And what are they doing? Listen. They're not even talking to God. They're talking to each other. Read it. You know what they're doing? They're saying, holy, 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 holy. Let me tell you something. Our God is a thrice holy God. And beloved, listen, he's not going to compromise with this generation. He's not going to compromise with sin. He's still as holy as he always has been. Say amen. Praise God for his holiness. When God shows up, the evidence of the Lord's presence among his people is going to be worship. Let me give you something tonight, something to think about. Think about this, Sister Miriam. These angels had never fallen. Lucifer was cast out. He had fallen. He was a fallen angel. There was a bunch that fell with him because they rebelled against the God of heaven. I'll sit upon your throne. No, God said, no, you won't either, big boy. You're out of here. These angelic beings had never fallen. These angelic beings had never tasted sin, Brother Ralph. These angelic beings didn't even know what it was, Brother Grizzle, to have an evil thought. And I'm telling you, these angelic beings want to worship. Holy, holy, holy. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? That's what I'm getting at. How much more should you and I, that he found us in the dregs and drugs of sin, in the pit, and lifted us up, washed us in his blood, how much more should we be wanting to worship him in spirit and in truth? How much more? Hallelujah to the Savior. What's the evidence when he shows up? Worship. The second thing, not only the worship of the Savior. Here's something else that's going to happen just as soon as God shows up. It's going to be the woefulness of sin. The Bible said over there in the book of Romans, let me read you the verse. Let me see if I can find it here first. I thought I had it written down. In the book of Romans. It's a good verse. The Word of God said sin. Here it is, Romans 7:13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? That's talking about when the commandments of God came along. When the Word of God came along. Paul said, was that which is good made death unto me? He said, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You say, preacher, the grudge I'm holding, it's just a little one. No, it ain't. Not if he shows up. You say, the sin I'm harboring, preacher, in my heart, it ain't that bad. No, it ain't till he shows up. I'm going to tell you something, honey. Listen, when he shows up, it don't matter. You say, oh, preacher, it wasn't much of a lie. It was just a little white lie. It don't matter how many members, beloved. Listen, when the Holy Ghost came where you were, amen, listen to me. And beloved, sin became exceeding sinful. Here's Isaiah. He said, preacher, I don't know where you see this in the text. Right here. Then said I, woe is me. Isaiah, Brother Gary, he didn't say, I want you to look what he's done. I want you to look what she's done. I want you to look what they've done to me. I want you to look how they treated me. Oh, no. When Isaiah got in his presence, it was not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Beloved, listen. That's the kind of meeting where somebody gets up on one side of the church and goes to somebody on the other side of the church and says, my heart is not right towards you. I've been carrying something in my heart that don't belong there. You say, preacher, you can preach till Jesus comes and I ain't going to do it. That's the truth. I'm just telling you, if the God of heaven comes down, you'll do it. You'll do it. You say, preacher, how do you know? I've experienced it. You say, preacher, I want to go on with God. You know where most people are going to get to go on with God? When they go back to where they quit going on with God and get that fixed. Then they can go on with God. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, you let a man come in this building that's been taking 30 minutes for break when he's supposed to take 15. You let the Holy Ghost come down in the meeting. That man will be going back over where he works and apologizing to his boss. He'll be wanting to stay 15 minutes over till he makes it up, Brother Ralph. I'm telling you the truth, beloved. We've got away from the holiness of God. We've got away from the woefulness of sin. The Word of God said, him that knows to do good does it not, to him it's sin. There's people that know they ought to speak to somebody about their soul and they never do it. They know they ought to give out a gospel tract or give out one of the cards and invite somebody to watch the gospel presentation and never do it. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. There's sins of commission. That's doing things that you ought not to do. There's sins of omission. That's not doing things that you ought to do. They're both sin and they're both woeful. And the way you'll know it, when God's presence shows up, beloved, you'll know it. I believe with all of my heart in the woefulness. Say, preacher, what did it bring about? A couple of things here. Number one, it brought about confession. Confession. Let me ask you a personal question. I don't want you to answer me. Answer yourself in your heart. When's the last time you had to say to Jesus, I'm sorry? When's the last time? Hey, you can shine in halos if you want to, but you're cut out of the same stinking flesh I'm cut out of. When's the last time you had to say to your spouse or to your children or to another believer or to a sinner man, I'm sorry? Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm undone. I looked up something here. The word undone, listen to me carefully. It comes from a Hebrew word. It's pronounced domum. And it means to be dumb or silent. In other words, what Isaiah experiences, he clams up. It means to fail or to perish or to destroy or to be cut off, to be undone. I don't believe, listen, that it's necessary just because we read it this place in the Bible to think that the confession came immediately. I believe there was a little bit to meditate on there when God let Isaiah see the Lord, see the seraphims, see His holiness, see His highness. Isaiah comes along and says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Listen to me carefully. Years ago, somebody said something to me. I said, preacher, listen, I've said this before, and I'll say it again if I live very long. Somebody said this to me years ago. I said, preacher, them people, it's all the time going to the altar. Don't that bother you? I said, no. I'll tell you what bothers me. Them folks I pastored for years that never had to make a trip to the altar. Now, maybe you didn't come to this altar, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're living for God, you've had to make you an altar somewhere. And get your heart right with God. Everything in this stinking world is trying to pull us away from Him, away from Him, away from His doctrine, away from His Bible, away from the bride of Christ. There'll come a time. Doesn't matter if you're young. By the way, I believe even in the older generation, they'd be the ones to say amen right here. There's never a time to let your guard down. We're living in a generation where people have been married 45 and 50 years. And they look at each other one day and say, it's over. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. That right there. You keep that right there right with God, it'll make you want to love your wife. It'll make you want to love your children. It'll make you want to waller your grandchildren. Y'all know what waller means? If you don't, I'm going to send Sawyer over to you. You'll find out right quick what waller means. Amen. He's not a walrus, but he acts like one. Amen. The woefulness of sin. We see confession. But not only do we see confession, I like this. There's a cleansing. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful. He's just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal. You want to know, let me just give you something. If whatever it is you're experiencing is dead, it didn't come from the altar of God. The Bible speaks of strange fire. You know where that strange fire comes from? Anywhere except the altar of God. The fire that Isaiah experienced was a cleansing fire. The seraphim knew where to get it, and the seraphim knew how to carry it, and the seraphim knew how to apply it. Brother Steve, I believe we're looking at a picture of the Holy Ghost. He knows where to get it. How come we can have mercy? Because thank God in heaven there's a mercy seat that's been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus knows where to get it. The Holy Ghost knows where to get it. And He knows where to take it. And He knows where to apply it. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, most Baptists say, when you leave a meeting, the Lord shows up, I wish they'd have been here. They'd have got it. How many knows what I'm talking about? I learned something a long time ago. God did not give me this message for them that didn't come. Now listen to me. They're going to give an account in the day of judgment if they could have been here tonight and they wasn't here because they're sorry or lazy or chose the things of this world. They'll give an account of that. But God knew before the foundation of the world who'd be sitting in this meeting tonight. And God gave me this message for this group of people that are here tonight. He wants us to understand that, listen, when He shows up, there's some evidence. Evidences. There's some things you can see. And one of them is the worship of the Savior. The second one is the woefulness of sin. The Word of God talks about the cleansing, the coal, the fire from the altar of God, the cleansing agent. But it also talks about the contact, the fellowship with another, the cleansing administrator, the Spirit of God. How many watched that rocket go the other day? I did. I got to watch it. It was amazing, was it not? And somebody, might have been Bob that sent me a text about the prayer that the head of NASA, they asked him what he was thinking. And Brother Steve, he said he was praying for the astronauts' safety. He was praying for their families. It sounds like, in his response, a man that knows Jesus, Brother Ike. He wasn't full of pride. He was humble. You say, preacher, I don't know why you mentioned that. Well, usually there'll be a word used in that somewhere. They'll say contact. And then later on, we have liftoff. Oh, glory. Have you ever experienced when the Holy Ghost come by and made contact? You say, preacher, what do you mean liftoff? I'll tell you what I mean. You're fixing to go higher. God wants us, Brother Preston, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't want us to stay in some stagnant mud puddle. He wants us to grow. Get a drink of living water. Have an abundant life. That's what God wants for His children. Watch this now. He laid it on my mouth and He said, lo, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. How many believes there's a great relief in Isaiah's life right here? A great relief. It's a burden that's lifted. Can I say this tonight? I've already said it in one fashion. Let me say it in another. It's not just sinners that need to experience that great relief. But the saints of God get to carrying things that they ain't got no business carrying. And I tell you where they can be unloaded. At Calvary. Brother Charles Long was preaching one time. I'll never forget it. He was down at Liberty preaching when I was pastoring there. He pastored there before me. Brother Steve, a lot of people may not even understand what I'm about to say, but Brother Long made this statement from the pulpit. He said, God knew what kind of Christian I was going to be, and He saved me anyway. Brother Grizzle, the thought went through my mind. God, You knew what kind of preacher I was going to be. And You called me anyway. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that any man that's worth his salt knows he don't belong here in the flesh or because of the stinking flesh. But a holy God came by with a holy purpose and put the Holy Ghost down in a man's heart that he might serve him the rest of his days. None of us deserves it. Watch this now and I'm done. Finished. Had to say that for Miss Eve. Watch this. Not only is there the worship of the Savior, evidence of the Lord's presence. You know what I'm talking about when I say His presence, because every born-again believer brought Jesus to church with you tonight. He said He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. But you have to understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the difference between having God in you and God on you. It's one thing, Brother Steve, to have God in the service. It's quite another to have God on the service. It's one thing to have God in your home. It's quite another for somebody to walk in your home, Brother Preston, and be able to sense the presence of God so real. I'm thinking about your mother. Am I right? She didn't have to say, look at me, I'm a born-again Christian. All you had to do, am right, ain't a sin, and just get around her. She had been with Jesus. There was an air, a glow, a compassion that this world needs much more of. The last thing tonight I'll give you is this. The worship of the Savior, the woefulness of sin. The last thing I see in the text tonight is there's a willingness in service. Watch what the Word of God said here. Isaiah's been touched. His sin has been purged. Also, listen, I'm fixing to say a couple of things. I really want you to log them. I mean that. Not because God gave it to me, because it's important. I believe this is where we're at in this generation. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. You say, preacher, how come Isaiah was so willing? I'm going to tell you something right now. One trip in the presence of God is all it'll take to make a woman want to be the wife that she ought to be, the mother that she ought to be, make a man want to be the daddy and the papaw that he ought to be for the glory of God. Let me give you something tonight. I hope this will help you. Before we can hear the Lord, see, he said, I heard the voice. Before we can hear the Lord concerning service, we must heed the Lord concerning sin. That's a powerful statement. I said, before we can hear the voice of the Lord concerning service, we must heed the voice of the Lord concerning sin. Let me ask you a question. I'm asking myself. I know the answer with myself, and it's not a good answer. How many can remember a time in your life when you were more sensitive to sin than you are right now? How many can remember a time? I started to say this Sunday, and I don't know, I got sidetracked. I must have run a rabbit or something. I forgot it. At least I think I did. I used to think, Brother Grizzle, over there, and I believe it's 2 Thessalonians. I believe it's chapter 2, I believe. I know it's in 2 Thessalonians. Only he who will now let, will let, till he be taken out of the way. How many remembers Brother Billy Mitchell standing in this pulpit? I can't get over when I heard it. I didn't just hear it with my ears. I heard it with my heart. And to be honest with you, I didn't understand it to start with. But he made a statement. He said, we're victims of the times. You remember that, don't you, Brother Grizzle? You remember him saying that? He said, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I won't be dogmatic about this. I used to think the Holy Spirit, when the church was called away, that it was just an instantaneous thing. Only he who will now let will let till he be taken out of the way. I used to think, Brother Stephen, just bang. The Holy Ghost, in other words, you could just be in a season of revival or whatever. But this is what I believe might be happening. I believe he might be just slowly withdrawing. Listen, don't get mad at me. But I believe that's why things that used to make us blush don't make us blush anymore. Things we used to see, things we used to hear. We were real, real sensitive. How many knows what I'm talking about? If we even thought, Brother Preston, if you and I got together and we had a conversation, if I even thought that I might have said something that you misunderstood, I'm coming to you. I'm just wanting to make very sure that there's nothing going on between me and you that don't need to be going on between me and you. Just sensitive. You know what I believe? I believe the reason that Isaiah could hear the voice of the Lord concerning service is because he had heeded the voice of the Lord concerning sin. I believe that when he didn't fight it, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Listen, I'm preaching to the cream of the crop tonight. I know that. But listen to me. If this COVID thing gets over with and it lifts, and you go somewhere on vacation, you listen to me. If you'll be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you'll find you a church nearby where you're going. If you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you'll research it before you even get there. Get online. About every church has got what they believe, ain't they, Brother Steve? Maybe even a service you could listen to. You say, Pastor, give us a break. We just want to miss a couple Sundays a year. All I'm telling you is, you know it's the truth. There was a time when we was more sensitive to the Holy Ghost than that. Am I right? Somebody said years ago, when you play that rock music backwards, you get the devil's message. Somebody else come along and said, you know what you get when you play country music backwards? I said, what? I said, you get your dog back, you get your wife back, you get your house back. We're laughing, but I'm going to tell you something. Ain't something better to listen to than that mess. Your cheating heart. Boy, if I could sing right now, I'd light into that one, Brother Ralph. We'll tell on you. Y'all are laughing. Some of y'all been there, ain't you? I'm not talking about cheating, but you've listened. You've heard it. Amen. I believe God, when he shows up, there'll be a willingness to serve. I heard the voice of the Lord. I want to give you something else real quickly, and I'm done. Brother Jim's getting nervous back there. He tells me when you get long-winded, he never knows when that computer's going to give up a ghost. Something else I noticed here. Listen, do me careful. This is important. Isaiah, Brother Steve, didn't get the assignment and then decide whether he was willing. He was willing, and then God gave him the assignment. Do y'all see that right there? I think a lot of people, I've used this illustration before. I'll hold this envelope up here. It's blank. I've used this illustration before. Here's how a lot of people think you're going to discover the will of God. They say, well, Lord, I'll just give you this piece of paper. This is my life. And Lord, you just write down on it what you want me to do. And Lord, I'll look it over. Here's a Baptist. I'll pray about it. And Lord, if I like it, I'll sign it. You'll never find the will of God that way. Brother Gary, the way you find the will of God is put your John Hancock at the bottom and say, Jesus, there it is. You gave your life for me. How could I not give everything I have to you? That's how you find the will of God. Amen. That's how Emily's going to find a husband. I think she's already signed it. Said, God, I don't want to do the choosing. I want you to. I'm going to tell you something. I love Emily, but he'll do a better job choosing than she will. I'd say the same thing of my daughter or granddaughter, either one. We need to let God lead us. Let God love on us. When God shows up, it'll show up in worship, the worship of the Savior. It'll show up in the willingness or the woefulness of sin, and it'll show up in the willingness and service. Let me see if I can find this. I've touched on it already. Brother Steve asked you to pray for Brother Coulter. He's preaching tonight, Brother Steve, at Calvary Lighthouse Baptist Church. Well, I said that. He's at least presenting the work, and he thinks he'll be preaching. He wasn't sure about that, but he's at least presenting the work that God's called him to do. Let me get over here. I just sent him a text thanking him. Here's what he said. My pleasure to serve. Jesus needs shrub planters for the kingdom too. I know he blesses labor, whether it's in a pulpit or a flower bed. I was excited for a chance to fellowship with my brethren. Brother Ralph, he loves his church. And he knows that this church loves him. And he's out now preaching a lot. If he's not working, he's preaching, and vice versa. And it just thrills me that he's already figured out. Let me tell you something. I feel sorry for anybody that thinks they're too good to get down the dirt. Amen. Jesus left heaven and come all the way down here to earth. Why'd he do that, preacher? Well, I could wrap it up simply just saying that because he loves us. Because he knew there was no other way that we could go to heaven. He'd have to give his life. He'd have to shed his blood. So sinners could be saved. And so the saints of God, when they fell down on their knees and said, oh God, it's me again. I blew it, Lord. So God could have mercy. The mercy seed had to be sprinkled. Does anybody want to guess what those seraphims are doing tonight? Boy, thank God. Brothers and sisters, there's going to come a day when we're not going to get tired. Your pastors give out right now. But Brother Steve, they're doing the same thing. Holy. Oh. Brother Gary, you think them fans back there is putting off a breeze? I believe you get inside them wings, honey, you'd feel another breeze. Holy. 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 I don't even know if this is a word. Is iota a word, Miss Eve? It is a word. I thought it was country slang. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Those seraphims are in his presence and they're worshiping. You say, preacher, I don't know what we're going to do when we get in his presence. I do. I know what I'm not going to do. I won't have to do it anymore, Brother Ike. I'll never have to look at Jesus and say, I'm sorry. I'll never have to go to another brother or sister and say, I'm sorry. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because I'm going to be like Jesus, and he's never had to say, I'm sorry. He's perfect. He's the Redeemer. And I don't know what we're going to be like, but I know this, we're going to be like him. And I want to say this tonight. That's good enough for me. Ain't it? Is that ain't a word, Miss Eve? It is now. Ain't it? Ain't it going to be wonderful? I believe a songwriter said, Brother Ralph, won't it be wonderful there If I'd have written it, it'd have said, ain't it going to be good over there? Ain't it going to get gooder? I believe it is. Olivia, are you sleeping on me? No, you're not. I thought you was, honey. You're fixing to go out, though, ain't you? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many know somebody that needs help tonight? You know what would help them more than anything, Nita? For you to get so close to God that you glow with His presence. Ain't that right, Steve? What would help this church Sunday morning more than anything would be for Pastor to get so close to God that I glowed with His presence. A man said years ago, and I'll never forget this, Brother Steve, he said some leave the church and they say, man, what a church. He said some leave the church and they say, man, what a preacher. He said some leave the church and they say, man, what a sermon. This old pastor said, Brother Gary, he said, I failed. If they don't leave the church saying, my, what a Savior. That's where it's at. We should raise our kids not to, my, what a daddy, or my, what a mommy, my, what a mamaw, my, what a papaw. We should raise our kids to leave the home saying, what a Savior. What a Savior. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer.